Members, I will now call the Post-Secondary Education and Workforce Subcommittee to order. Misty, please call the roll.
Chair Mello?
Here.
Vice Chair Beltran?
Here.
Ranking Member Tan?
Here.
Representative Amnesty?
Here.
Representative Bell?
Here.
Representative Burfield?
Here.
Representative Cross?
Here.
Representative Dunkley?
Here.
Representative Escamani?
Here.
Representative Esposito?
Here.
Representative Gonzalez-Pittman?
Here.
Representative Hawkins?
Here.
Representative Henson?
Here.
Representative Lopez?
Here.
Representative Plasencia?
Here.
Representative Rudman?
Here.
Representative Schoaf?
Here.
Representative Temple?
Here.
Thank you, members, and by your presence, we have a quorum. Members, I'll ask you to please silence your cell phones. And members, we have one bill on the agenda for today. We will now take up HB 99 relating to intercollegiate athlete compensation and rights. Representative LaMarca, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Chair Mello, Vice Chair, Ranking Member, and Education Committee Whip. House Bill 99, as you have, and there is an amendment. Do you want me to take the amendment up first or just talk about the main bill first?
If you would please just discuss the main bill and then we'll take up the amendment. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. So first of all, members, there are some freshmen and other members that I didn't have your contact information. I do apologize if I didn't send you a note and get your questions or concerns ahead of time. But so this bill, I just wanted to kind of share a few things that we've learned over the last few years. And first of all, it's a misnomer that all collegiate athletes are on a full ride. Most of these college athletes, male and female, are only on partial or even no scholarship with their athletic departments, but they're still bound by their eligibility rights. We learned during the COVID pandemic that an estimated 14 to 20% of collegiate athletes nationally face homelessness. An estimated 20 to 40% of collegiate athletes nationally face food insecurity. Florida has over 11,000 student athletes that deserve their access to the free market. And this bill basically cleans up some language from 2020. We passed a bill that allowed college athletes to earn endorsements and compensation off their name, image, and likeness. Florida was a leader, a trailblazer, if you will, and we passed this legislation. And soon thereafter, many of the surrounding states throughout the country, but surrounding states and also in conferences that Florida has teams that play in of all sports, followed us with similar legislation and framework. Not too long after that, the National Collegiate Athletic Association, otherwise known as the NCAA, basically removed their prohibition of being able to earn off your name, image, and likeness. And at that time, a lot of states just went to do full repeal. When they did full repeal, I believe strongly they did the one thing that I had hoped that we were doing when we passed this law. It wasn't just to expose college athletes to the free market and allow them to earn off their name, image, and likeness, just like every other college student would be able to do if you were in construction school or real estate or pre-law or whatever it might be. You could still work in that field. But what we did is put in a very, very, I would say, protective but really thoughtful financial literacy, life skills program. And a lot of the states, if you do full repeal, basically that would come out. So that's why we filed this this new law, which is an update, and I apologize, but I wanted to give a little bit of background to kind of how we got here. So if I could, I'm going to hit the amendment.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. And just let me follow up with this. In the main bill, basically what we're doing, when those other states changed, the NCAA changed, there was something in our bill called cause compensation that universities could not help facilitate or cause compensation for a deal. In other words, a female softball player or a soccer player here at Florida State, if there was a business down the street and they wanted to connect and do an endorsement, do a sponsorship or something for that athlete, they wouldn't be able to do that by reaching out to the university boosters or anyone and have have access to that person's information. This would allow them to do that. The other language in the main bill, I apologize for going back, but the other language in the main bill deals with the trademark and mark of the university. Now, Amendment 523669, it adds important financial literacy training clarification by adding entrepreneurship training and making the required five-hour financial literacy education be administered annually instead of biannually. It also clarifies that an institutional trademark for commercial purposes is with institutional consent. It also allows, not mandates, that an institution could provide professional services, support services, to assist college athletes to make the best decisions possible for their future success. And just on the timing of that training, what we realized that we initially said year one and year three. If you're a traditional student, you go from maybe an in-state high school in Florida, and then you go to the University of Florida or Florida State or UCF, wherever you all went to school, those are all included. The next step would be you'd have financial literacy training in year one. If you stayed there for 4 years, maybe played three or four of those 4 years, you'd have financial literacy and life skills training twice, year one and year three. What we were finding is through the transfer portal and athletes, students transferring from one university to another, is they could miss the year one, year three, and then because of the way some sports are, you have a athlete who came to Florida State University last year from Notre Dame, and he had finished his bachelor's, came here to sign up to get his master's while he was here, happened to play the entire college football season, but he would have not been able to get this training because he came in between April and January, and he's already graduated with his master's degree now and trying to get in the NFL. So in those cases, we didn't want anybody to slip through the cracks. So that's why we went to annual, and there's one other specific issue there where we say that within 120 days of transferring to a university, so you don't slip through that timeline crack, if you will. And we'll take any questions, I guess, on it, but that's basically the amendment.
Thank you, Representative LaMarca. Members, are there any questions on the amendment? Okay, right now we're on the amendment, and then we will go on to questions on the amended bill. Representative Gonzalez-Pittman, did you have a question about the amendment?
Yes.
Go ahead. You're recognized.
Thank you. I was wondering, will the universities be compensated for the services that they provide the athlete on making?
You're recognized.
Thank you. No, they would not. The universities could, at their own decision, their own discretion, decide to provide those services. The fact that they would provide those services says they care a lot about their athletes and they want them to do well with any opportunities they might have, but they wouldn't be compensated. And to go further than that, they wouldn't, these professionals would not be able to be compensated outside of the university through any other means. They wouldn't be able to collect a commission or a fee from the athlete either, the student.
Ranking Member Tant.
Thank you, and thanks for this bill. Quick question, in respect to the support services for athletes, what about the students who don't have a university to support them? Where do they get their supports from? Or does the NCAA have any guidance on that anywhere that you know of?
I apologize, you're recognized.
No worries. Ranking Member, if you might please ask that question again, just because you said the schools that don't have professional services?
Yes, sir. I'm I see that it's not mandatory that mm-hmm. schools provide support services for the athletes. I'm thinking about maybe that athlete who needs supports but doesn't get any from this school. So I'm just curious as to what happens there or if the NCAA has any guidelines on that.
Well,
you're recognized.
Thank you. At this time, the NCAA shows professional services unless they're offered to, if the university offers them, unless they're offered to all students within the university, not just athletes, but other students. And where the problem is they show this is an impermissible benefit. I think we can do better in Florida. I think if we're going to hand an 18-year-old small, medium, or large size endorsement, that they should have some guidance as to good credit, bad credit, credit cards, saving a particular amount of money off for taxes, making sure there's a savings, making sure there's some financial advisory in there, and as well as tax preparation and some of the contract assistance. So the smaller, to answer your question, the smaller schools that don't wouldn't enlist these services, the athletes, students could still go onto the outside and use a professional service. I would hope that I didn't want to be too overly burdensome for maybe some of our smaller schools, our HBCUs. I mean, we've got schools that are, you know, very, very small in number as opposed to schools that have 25,000 students. So if it's not something they can afford, I don't want to push them into that. But at the same time, if they can, I would just definitely want to make sure that they offer those services.
Vice Chair Beltran, you have a question?
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Rep. Lamarca. I guess my question is, I'm looking at your original bill, and you have lines 106 to 118, which provide protect the university by saying that the athletes are not employees, and then limiting the university's liability in the Section 4 that you have, which I assume that's that, like, if they bench a player and the player loses their revenue from their endorsement because of that you can't sue the coach or something. I assume that's the purpose. Those have been taken out, if my reading of your amendment is correct. If you could just enlighten us on the reason we're removing those two provisions, that is your original sections 3 and 4 on page 5 of the bill, that would be great. Thanks.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Trying to get back into the groove. So, Vice Chair and Representative Beltran, the issues that we had in prior, there's three hold harmless provisions. One, to address your issues, and I want to just, first of all, I want to commend and thank committee staff. Carrington Kiner did a lot of work with me on this. We had three issues that he pulled from the roughly 28 states that instituted their own NIL laws. And when I looked at them initially, I still think they're very good issues, but they all each have an issue why they're not in this amendment or they've been taken out as a part of this amendment. The intercollegiate athlete employment status, Texas is working on that, and that is an issue that's being worked up to the National Labor Relations Board. That I believe that's an ongoing court case. If it doesn't get rectified properly, it's something I would look to put back in later. The limitation of liability of the institution, which you specifically asked for, came from Louisiana law. The universities already have sovereign immunity. I don't think you can sue your coach for being benched. I'm sure people have tried to do that. And then the third one, if I might, is opportunities for intercollegiate athletes that the institution is able to help. In other words, they're able to able to assist with enabling deals, but they're not required to. In other words, your college football coach or your soccer coach is not your agent.
Do you have a follow-up? Representative Escamani, you have a question on the amendment?
I do. Thank you so much, Chairwoman. I was just curious, Representative Lamarca, for the financial literacy, entrepreneurship, life skills workshop, are students required to attend that, or is it just required for the school to provide it? Do students also have to attend it, and if they transfer, they have to attend a second session? Maybe just kind of walk me through that more.
You're recognized.
They're required to attend. If they want to participate in a endorsement deal, an image like this, they would be required to attend probably 10 hours at UCF, but no, they can. It would require the 5 hours anywhere in the state of Florida. Thank you.
Any further questions on the amendment? Okay, seeing none, we will move into public testimony on the amendment. Is there anyone from the public that wishes to speak on the amendment? Okay, we have an appearance card from Laura Humans, representing Florida Justice Association, and she waves in support. Okay, members, we are now in debate on the amendment. Is there any debate on the amendment? Representative Lamarca, you are recognized to close on the amendment.
You have a lengthy agenda. I'll just wave close.
All those in favor of adoption of the amendment signify by saying yay. All those
yay.
All those opposed, nay. Members, by your vote, the amendment is adopted. We are back on the bill as amended. Representative Hinson, you had a question on the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Mr. LaMarca, for your concerns about this issue. So I have some concerns. Who literally connects, I guess, this athlete with an endorser and handles negotiations, contracts, that kind of thing, similar to financial literacy? Is there anyone that is assigned to be his legal representative to prevent him from, you know, an actor that might not be in his best interest? Professional athletes have agents. Who's the agent for the athlete?
You're recognized, Representative LaMarca.
Thank you, Chair. Representative, thank you for the question. It's a good question and a great opportunity for a refresher and reminder and new information for the folks that weren't here prior when we did the bill in 2020. This process allowed for people to become agents in the state of Florida and work with our college athletes. So they can hire outside representation. I use the example that there was a young lady who was on the Florida State soccer team in 2020, and they had just won a national championship, and she was growing number 1.1, 1.2. It was 1.5 million Instagram followers by the time this process became law. She had graduated in December before we made it law, and had she been able to use her name, image, and likeness, she would have done very well because she's playing professional in Spain right now and has a contract with Nike. So they're allowed to hire actual agents through this process. And I think one of your other parts of the question, if I might add, is within the institutions, within the colleges and universities, the facilitate part, this would allow members, employees of the teams, the athletic department, staff, trainers to help facilitate deals. But just to be very clear in this, you mentioned bad actors. This would not allow anyone to induce or offer something to get a student to come to a school.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Hinson. Members, we are on the amended bill. Are there any other questions? Okay, at this time we will move into public testimony on the bill as amended. Is there anyone from the public that wishes to speak on the bill as amended? We have some appearance cards here. Adrian Nunez from the University of Miami waves in support. Lena Rojas from FSU waves in support. And Ryan Britton from Florida Atlantic University wishes to speak. Ryan? Okay, Ryan waves in support. Representative LaMarca, you are recognized to close on the bill. Oh, I apologize. We have a debate. Members, is there any debate on the bill? Representative Hawkins, you're recognized.
Thank you, and thank you for bringing this bill. You know, as Florida, we want to be a leader. And any time that we fall short with something that other states are adopting, we have to relook at. So I'm glad you brought this. There's many people that think name, image, and likeness and transfer portal are going to ruin college sports. I think they're separate. I have my opinion on transfer portals, but as far as name, image, and likeness, you look at these athletes, and the colleges are making money off them. And so many times with injuries today, their future could be gone. We saw Jalen Smith, who played, probably for Notre Dame, get injured in his last bowl game his senior year and had to sit out a year, and luckily was able to come back. Probably didn't have the successful pro career he'd had, but if they would have had this, I'm sure he would have had some kind of endorsement contract. So happy to support this bill. I'm glad you brought it, and hopefully we can keep Florida and draw athletes from other areas because Florida would have the best name, image, and likeness legislation.
Thank you, Representative Hawkins. Members, we are in debate. Representative Escamani, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chairwoman. I just want to say thank you for helping our athletes not only have these opportunities, but to have the know-how to manage, because I will say that especially when we have such high expectations for folks who are so young and just starting their careers, it can also be very overwhelming. They can also be taken advantage of. And the fact that we're also being considerate to that educational aspect to make sure they know what they're getting themselves into, what is a contract, because I also know there's really terrible stories of folks signing things without actually understanding what they are signing. So just want to say thank you for that, too.
Thank you, Representative Escamani. Seeing no further debate, Representative LaMarca, you are recognized to close on the bill.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you to the members who spoke, asked questions, had debate on the issues. I want to thank the universities because I didn't coordinate with them. They just happened to be up here today and wanted to be in the room and wave in support. I'm a little disappointed we didn't get the tomahawk chop, the gator chomp, or my owl eyes back there, but they waved in support either way. I do want to say, members, when this issue came up and we took it on, I worked with the minority leader of the Florida House at the time. He's now a county commissioner down in Miami-Dade. And as this issue went through committee, we found that it wasn't a partisan issue. It wasn't a gender issue. It wasn't a ethnicity or race issue. There were a few people who were against it. We'll call them traditionalists who love, you know, things the way they were a while ago, maybe 10, 20, 30 years ago in college sports, for example. I don't begrudge them at all, but I do say that, you know, as we look and as the point was made by Whip Hawkins, that, you know, when you look at college coaches that are making $9, $10, $11, $12 million a year and they're trademarking their own name, but say that they won't coach anymore if a player is able to make a few bucks. And I'm not saying one sport versus the other, but we're talking about some dollars to the point where most people would come back and say, all right, well, maybe it's time. So we looked at this, and then I had an incident in my district back in Deerfield Beach, and there was a young man who was going to Deerfield Beach High School, who was graduating. He was accepted to Georgia Tech on a full scholarship, math and engineering. So he wasn't only going because he was a really good football player, but his mother and sister and himself were living in a hotel, and they were moments from being homeless. So instead of going with his uncle to Atlanta the next day in a car, he walked in front of a train. So it's those things that you start thinking about, all right, well, not every kid's going to be a millionaire, not every kid's going to get a great deal, but the opportunity, and as Escamani brought up, the opportunity. The facts are the facts, and the vast majority of these kids, whether they play well or get or not, if they get hurt, that's one thing. The vast majority of these athletes won't get to a pro position, like 96% of them won't. And then, quite honestly, there are sports like women's volleyball, like my wife was in high school. There's not a professional league. That said, this is their opportunity to earn a little bit off of who they are, and I appreciate your support and your vote yes.
Thank you, Representative LaMarca. I appreciate you running this bill, and thank you, members, for all your comments and the lively debate. Representative LaMarca, having closed, Misty, please call the roll and announce the vote.
Representatives Amnesty?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Beltran?
Yes.
Burfield?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Escamani?
Yes.
Esposito?
Yes.
Gonzalez-Pittman?
Yes.
Hawkins?
Yes.
Hinson?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Placencia?
Yes.
Rudman?
Yes.
Shove?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Chair Mello?
Yes. By your vote, HB 99 is reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you, Chair and members.
Members, thank you. I hope you all enjoyed a extended weekend and you had safe travels. Thank you for your comments today on this important bill. And members, that concludes today's agenda. Seeing no other business before the subcommittee, Representative Ranking Member Tant moves we rise. Without objection, the meeting is adjourned.